Stay tuned for Nightline Africa, coming up right after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Marty Johnson reporting. The Lebanese militant group Hezbollah claims that Islamic militants are responsible for the shelling death of the top military commander Mustafa Bedreddin near Syria's Damascus airport on Friday. Hezbollah announced Bedreddin's death before holding a military funeral for the commander later in the same day. In a statement released today, the group said it has launched an investigation and found an explosion which led to the martyrdom of Commander Mustafa Bedreddin was the result of artillery bombardment carried out by Takfiri, or Sunni extremist groups, in the area. Hezbollah fighters carried the commander's coffin through the streets of southern Beirut on Friday in a funeral procession. 55-year-old Bedreddin led the Shiite group's involvement in the Syrian civil war and was the highest official from the group to die since Hezbollah entered the conflict several years ago. A suicide car bombing near a police training center in southern Afghanistan has killed three police officers. 12 people, including at least one child, were wounded Saturday in Helmand province. The Taliban has claimed responsibility for this attack. The United Nations says in a new report that a group of 30 North Korean military instructors may have violated United Nations sanctions in providing pistols to Congolese army and police officers during training exercises. A panel of experts monitoring UN sanctions against North Korea said the pistols were issued to members of the Congolese army and national police. And some eventually ended up in the hands of Congolese peacekeepers working with the UN mission. According to Congolese soldiers and police, the pistols were issued during a training program in 2014 for the Congolese Presidential Guard. The United Nations bans North Korea from selling weapons or providing military training. The group now says that some of those pistols, the same type, are for sale on the black market in Kinshasa. This is VOA News. Italy's Coast Guard has rescued about 1,000 refugees and migrants off the southern tip of the country's coast, according to the UN Refugee Agency. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from UNHCR headquarters in Geneva.
In one operation, the UN Refugee Agency reports some 500 people were rescued off Sicily, southeast of Cape Passero. It says the people crammed into two fishing boats had departed several days ago from Egypt. UNHCR spokesman William Spindler says the nationalities of all the people are still not known, but that the Italian Coast Guard reports some Syrians and Iraqis were among the group. The UNHCR reports nearly 190,000 refugees and migrants have arrived in Europe by sea so far this year. While most have gone to Greece, a growing minority of more than 31,250 has headed for Italy. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
U.S. Secretary of Defense Ash Carter says the sole remaining area along the Syrian border where foreign fighters can enter and leave Islamic State territories is a top priority of U.S.-led coalition forces. Speaking Friday, Carter said sharing and fusing information across the battlefield is helping prevent attacks and restricting the foreign fighters' movements. Meantime, the U.S. military has its first female combat commander. Air Force General Lori Robinson assumed her role as head of the U.S. Northern Command Friday with a change of command ceremony and a speech.
As a military leader, I will never forget that my greatest responsibility is to defend our homelands and to protect their people, national powers, and freedom of action.
Robinson is now responsible for protecting the continental U.S., Alaska, Canada, Mexico, the Bahamas, and a large section of the surrounding waters. Secretary Carter praised her ability to lead and command in high-tempo operational environments. Former Argentine President Cristina Fernandez was indicted Friday, charged with defrauding the government through her handling of the country's currency futures market while in office. Also charged, former Economic Minister Axel Kicillof and former Central Bank President Alejandro Vannoli in connection with a scheme to keep the value of the peso deflated. The case caused Argentina to lose billions of dollars, according to court papers. Reuters news agency reports no arrest warrants have been issued. An elderly Buddhist monk has been found hacked to death in a remote region of Bangladesh. The body of 75-year-old Meng Shui Yuchak was found early today in an isolated village temple 350 kilometers southeast of Dhaka. The police say they do not know any motive or who may have killed the monk. I'm Marty Johnson.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English service of the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clawty in Washington.
We met, including our presidential candidate, and we think that it is high time we review our relationship with the IEA. We are not a bunch of people who are without purpose. We are respectable people in our individual rights.
Ghanaian political parties resist plans by a policy think tank to organize presidential debates only between President John Dramani Mahama and main opposition leader Nana Akufo-Addo.
We thought that the facilitator was to conduct consultations between the main groups that are taking part to the peace talks.
Burundian civil society and opposition groups express concern that scheduled peace talks to end the crisis are unlikely to resume later this month.
Gauche et de Kumche en territoire nigérien.
He says, after a recent successful operation in Gauche and Kumche on the Nigerian territory, so many Boko Haram fighters escaped to the Madawaya forest.
And Cameroon says five Boko Haram leaders have been captured by the multinational joint forces fighting the militants. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. Ghanaian governing and opposition political parties are resisting plans by a policy think tank to organize presidential debates only between incumbent President John Dramani Mahama and main opposition leader Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo of the New Patriotic Party, or NPP. The think tank officials say this year they are considering having just the two leading candidates participate in the debate before November's general election. Bernard Mona, chairman of the Opposition People's National Convention, or PNC, told me the proposal is disquieting and an affront to the country's multi-party democracy.
For the IEA to sit at their narrow corner and to conclude that it is a fait accompli for political parties to participate in a debate, and go ahead to even schedule a period for which the debate will take place, and insinuate that they are going to have a debate for just the two presidential candidates of the New Patriotic Party and the National Democratic Congress, to say the least, is rude and crude way of doing things. Is the IEA now promoting a bi-party democracy in our country as opposed to multi-party democracy? That it is such attitude of the IEA that has compelled our new thinking that issues of presidential debate should be anchored by the state organ called the National Commission on Civic Education.
The thinking of the IEA officials is that their polling shows that Ghanaians want to hear from the so-called dominant parties, the ruling or governing National Democratic Congress, and the main opposition, the New Patriotic Party. Are you denying these facts?
Where is the fact solicited from? Is it not the same Ghanaians who appropriated for us the 1992 constitution which calls for multi-party democracy? Is it not the IEA that is benefiting from sponsorship from the Netherlands Institute for Multi-Party Democracy and not Netherlands Institute for Bi-Party Democracy? So if it is Ghanaians who raise the constitution onto ourselves, why would Ghanaians think otherwise? This is the creation and figment of the IEA, and it's not of any Ghanaian.
If they decide to go ahead with this idea that it floated in Ghana, will the PNC therefore boycott their planned activities if indeed this is how they're going to go?
This afternoon, we met, including our presidential candidate, and we think that it is high time we review our relationship with the IEA. We are not a bunch of people who are without purpose. We are respectable people in our individual rights, and as a political party that has contributed our quota since the inception of the Fourth Republic. Whether we have won elections or not, whether we are yet to win elections or not, The PNC's contribution on policy to the development of our nation is not in doubt. When everybody was talking about cash and carry in our healthcare delivery, the PNC proposed a national health insurance, which today, in spite of the fact that it's been haphazardly implemented, has become a panacea to the mirage of problems that the healthcare of our nation is confronted. When we were struggling with the Mobrawa struggles, the PNC proposed a national education fund to be able to contain the problems of education. Ghana Education Trust Fund, GET Fund, has been able to work in many ways, contributing to a colossus of infrastructural development and, indeed, the purchase and procurement of equipment and machinery and other logistics for schools in this country. The PNC contributed to bringing about the ministry now termed Gender and Social Protection. And therefore, even though we have not won power, our policy contribution to shaping the political destiny of our nation has not been in doubt. No one person, therefore, can come and say that the place for political parties is only to win elections. But holding on to certain beliefs, which beliefs found expression and support for the people of a nation, is the reason for which political parties are established. Winning political power may be the ultimate, but it comes with other latent functions, and I think that the PNC has contributed in no small measure in doing this. Above all, the Constitution of Ghana is clear in its multi-party stance and not a bi-party stance. Let the IEA not come and redefine for the people of Ghana what they should do. The call is for multi-party. The IEA cannot go and do a bi-party debate.
The PNC has registered its protest about this move by the IEA. The National Democratic Congress, the ruling party, has done the same. So what is the next line of action here from this inter-party dialogue that you've been holding concerning the stance of the IEA and the relationship thereof in terms of the presidential debate ahead of the election?
They have simply been so rude. They have been so disrespectful. And this outcome is so disgusting, to say the least. And the PNC doesn't take it lying low. We have asked our general secretary to write to them in clear terms, telling them that we are disappointed. And our presidential candidate will not participate in any debate of that nature.
Bernard Morin is the chairman of the Ghanaian Opposition People's National Convention, or PNC. He spoke with me from the capital, Accra. Burundian civil society and opposition groups say they are concerned that scheduled peace talks to end the crisis are unlikely to resume later this month because the facilitator has yet to consult with them. The peace talks are scheduled for May 21 in Arusha, Tanzania. The government in Burundi has signaled it is willing to talk with the groups to help end the country's crisis. But Vital Nshimirimana, leader of the civil society group Forum for Strengthening the Civil Society, told me opposition groups are not confident the peace talks will resume as planned.
We welcome the postponement of the peace talks, which was scheduled on 2 May. And we thought that the facilitator was to conduct consultations between many groups that are taking part to the peace talks. But this is not happening as wished. But still, we recommend the facilitator to take into consideration the voice of the protest, who are the civil society, the youth, and the women.
Why do you think the facilitator will not take into consideration those concerns?
This is a generalized problem for Africa, where civil society and neutral groups are not taken into consideration when it is about national issues. But still, all the people know that thanks to civil society positioning, people were able to know what is happening in Burundi. They are the one who raised the issue of the third term and who want that deadly crisis would happen should Nkurunziza run for a third term.
You have called on the United Nations to ensure the protection of unarmed civilians in Burundi. United Nations Security Council has come up with resolutions to protect civilians and all that. You don't think that is enough. Why?
Well, we are very concerned on the controversy in the United Nations Security Council, which visited Burundi twice in 1 year, and saw how the situation was too tense, and that now they cannot agree on the peacekeeping mission for Burundi. The time where 7,000 or so peacekeepers from Burundi are contributing to peace in Somalia and in the Republic of Central Africa. So we are in a situation where crimes against humanity, war crimes, and acts of genocide are committed in Burundi. So people of Burundi deserve to be protected against those mass atrocities.
Supporters of the government have denied opposition accusations and civil society accusations that young men and women are being kidnapped in opposition strongholds and are being tortured or in some cases killed. Do you have evidence of this accusation that you are leveling against the government?
There is a lot of information on the ground and image footage which are available by many people who can testify what is going on, what is happening in the Burundi: abduction, extrajudicial killing, rape, and the other mass atrocities which are committed by security forces in partnership with the Imbonerakure militiamen. And all are under the command of Pierre Nkurunziza. All the people who are believed to have participated in mass protests are targeted. All the people living in the opposition stronghold, neighboring hoods, are targeted. Now they are at the extent that even pupils or students going to school are arrested and conducted to a known destination.
But Vital, senior security officials have been killed in Burundi, and the government says opposition groups are teaming up with rebels, basically, to kill and to make the country ungovernable and unstable. So the accusations that you are leveling against the government is one of those plans to destabilize the country. What do you say to that?
It is the duty for the government and the national security institutions to protect the territory, people, and their properties. If a country, if a government fails to protect its citizens, it is accountable of that, first of all. Second is that some means which are utilized and some strategies show to what extent security forces are the one committing crimes, including those targeting high-profile military officers.
Vital Nshimirimana is the leader of the Burundian Civil Society Group Forum for Strengthening the Civil Society. He spoke with me from the Rwandan capital, Kigali. Cameroon says the multinational joint forces fighting Boko Haram have captured five leaders of the radical Islamist group, including Bukar Kaou, traditional ruler of Kumchi in Nigeria. Dozens of the terrorists were killed and 60 women and children freed. For VOA, Moki Edwin Kenzeka reports from the Cameroonian capital, Yaoundé.
Cameroon's communication minister and government spokesperson Issa Chiruma says 1,000 troops of the multinational joint task force fighting Boko Haram organized systematic raids between May 10 and 12 on Boko Haram bases in Nigeria's Madawaya forest, some 7 kilometers from Cameroon's northern border, killing 58 Boko Haram fighters. Chiruma says 15 Nigerian women, 3 Cameroonian women, and 28 children who had been held captive in the Boko Haram stronghold were freed and taken to Cameroon. He says huge quantities of war weapons were either destroyed or seized. The minister says five leaders of the terrorist group, including the traditional leader of Kumche and emir of the terrorist group, were arrested alongside dozens of their supporters.
Après les dernières opérations victorieuses menées dans les localités de Goche et de Kumche en territoire nigérien,
he says, after a recent successful operation in Goche and Kumche on the Nigerian territory, so many Boko Haram fighters escaped to the Madawaya forest and created camps for their fighters, where they also trained suicide bombers, especially young women and girls. He says the destruction of their training camps have made the governments of Cameroon and Nigeria realize that the forest served as the main training ground for suicide bombers and child fighters that regularly attacked the two countries. He says none of the Cameroon and Nigerian forces were killed. Cameroon believes the militants have resorted to suicide bombings because their firepower has been drastically reduced following ceaseless attacks on their stronghold since December 2015 by an 8,000-strong multinational joint task force with troops from Cameroon, Nigeria, Chad, Benin, and Niger. The United Nations reports that Boko Haram's six-year insurgency has killed more than 25,000 people and displaced more than 2.5 million. Moki Edwin Kinzika for VOA News, Yaoundé.
Italy's Coast Guard has rescued about 1,000 refugees and migrants off the country's southern tip, according to the UN Refugee Agency. For VOA, Lisa Schlein has more from Geneva.
The rescue operation, one of the largest on the Mediterranean Sea, was coordinated by the European Border Management Agency, Frontex. In one operation, the UN Refugee Agency reports some 500 people were rescued off Sicily, southeast of Cape Passero. It says the people crammed into two fishing boats had departed several days ago from Egypt. UNHCR spokesman William Spindler says the nationalities of all the people are still not known, but that the Italian Coast Guard reports some Syrians and Iraqis were among the group.
Apart from the two fishing boats that sailed from Egypt, it is believed that there were other smaller boats that came from Libya. Disembarkation of the 1,000 people rescued yesterday is taking place today at four different locations in southern Italy: Catania, Palermo, and Augusta in Sicily, and Crotone in the mainland.
Spindler says UNHCR staff will be present at the different locations and provide information and assistance to those who have been rescued.
It's clear just by our people on the ground that there are many families among those who have been rescued, and there are many unaccompanied children. You know, so far they are being disembarked, they need to go through medical screening, they need to get assistance, many of them are dehydrated and in bad shape, so, you know, we will need time before we can actually talk to them and get this information.
The UNHCR reports nearly 190,000 refugees and migrants have arrived in Europe by sea so far this year. While most have gone to Greece, a growing minority of more than 31,250 has headed for Italy. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The World Health Organization says South Africa has the highest rate of alcohol-related road deaths in the world. According to its 2015 Global Report on Road Safety, almost 60% of all fatalities happen because motorists are driving under the influence of liquor. The government says about 14,000 people are killed in road crashes every year. But independent analysts say the annual death toll is over 20,000, and they accuse the state of not doing enough to prevent drinking and driving. For VOA, Darren Taylor reports in the third installment of a series examining South Africa's road safety crisis.
A scene repeated in bars across South Africa every day. A patron walks in, tosses his car keys on the counter, and starts drinking alcohol. Here, driving after consuming just two beers is illegal. But, says Caro Smith of the non-profit South Africans Against Drunk Driving, this isn't deterring the nation's dedicated drink drivers.
South Africa, unfortunately, has a great culture of drinking and driving. They seem to think it is their right. There is a big culture of being proud of being so drunk and not remembering where you parked your car or how you got home.
10 years ago, Smith was an alcohol and drug educator in schools. A big part of her job was to warn young people against driving under the influence of liquor.
And then, unfortunately, my own child, Chaz, was killed by a drink driver in 2005.
Smith now campaigns for better enforcement of the country's laws against drinking and driving.
We've got to get the person caught quickly. We've got to get justice to accept that it is a crime and implement the laws that are there. We've got very good laws. We're just not implementing them.
The World Health Organization says laws to prevent drink driving are poorly enforced in South Africa. Howard Dembowski is chairman of the Justice Project, an NGO that monitors South Africa's traffic sector and road laws.
We have the National Department of Transport telling the World Health Organization that 58% of road fatalities in South Africa involve alcohol, and yet we don't have proper alcohol enforcement.
South Africa's Department of Transport did not respond to VOA's numerous requests for a reaction. But senior traffic police official Edna Mamonyane says officers launch regular operations to arrest people for drinking and driving. Smith says this isn't enough to prevent it.
There is a lot of lip service saying we want to stop it, and yet they're not using the internationally best practice methods of stopping it, like testing 24 hours a day, 365 days of the year, and not just at Christmas or Easter time.
According to Justice Project research, only 6% of the thousands of people arrested annually for allegedly driving under the influence of alcohol are ever convicted. Dembowski says this is because of factors like botched investigations and police corruption. This woman, whose voice has been disguised to protect her identity, says she paid a cop to squash the drink driving charge against her son.
Everybody knows it costs you 10, 15 grand and you can get it to disappear.
In the rare cases that drunk drivers are convicted, says Smith, the results are mostly disappointing.
When people have drunk and killed or severely injured, they're giving them absolute slap on the wrist. They're not giving jail sentences.
South Africa's Transport Minister, Dipuo Peters, wants all suspected drunk drivers to be imprisoned until their court hearings are complete. But Dembowski says it's wrong to punish people before they've been convicted of a crime.
That is just not acceptable in any modern criminal justice system. You cannot presume people to be guilty until they prove themselves innocent. Our constitution says the exact opposite.
Dembowski says if Peters gets her way, tens of thousands of people will be languishing in South Africa's already overcrowded jails for a long time. In South Africa, it's law that blood from alleged drunk drivers must be tested to establish the alcohol level. Since 1997, the Australian authorities have tested tens of millions of motorists for driving under the influence, and arrests for the offence are now relatively rare. Smith urges South Africa to do the same. But, says Dembowski, if that was to work here, the government would have to introduce radical reforms, including ending traffic police corruption and transforming its testing, justice and prison systems. I'm Darren Taylor for VOA News in Johannesburg. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington. And coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. And right now, it's time for music from our African collection. Enjoy.
Bam bam, big girl them shake up your bam bam, big girl them shake up your bam bam. You know what that? Where you come from? Oh no 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 no, this girl she a calling my phone. Yeah. Oh no 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 no, this girl she no won't let me go. Every day she follow me for Twitter. Next thing she want me gang finger. She want me to answer. Every night she want me gang ringer. Baby shake up your bam bam,
shake up your bam bam,
your bam bam. Ladies shake up your bam bam, bam bam. Bam bam, yeah. The way she a whine, girl you a mess up my mind. The way you roll your behind, if you make a man to go blind. Girl, me love you to pito. The way she my music is sweet oh. The way she dance it oh. Everybody them a love it oh. Yeah. She got your bam bam, everybody rap a pam pam.
Yeah.
She got your bam bam, bam bam, bam bam. Shake up your bam bam, your bam bam, your bam bam. See, oh no no no, yeah 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 yeah. My body not yeah yeah, but my mind not there yeah. Me I like it in la la, it in la la. Anyhow, I'll give it to you. I know what you want. I'm still on the bam bam,
still on the bam bam.
All you got to shake up your bam bam.
Anywhere they wanna follow me now.
Abracadabra,
abracadabra. Tell your mama, abracadabra. The people that love me, abracadabra. Mm-hmm. Abracadabra. Yeah. Abracadabra. The girls that are loving me, abracadabra. Do with me and do it, abracadabra. Uku. 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 Why not your uku?
Like a...
Like,
hold me now, because I love me now. Let's put it on me now, because I don't wanna let me now. Like, touch me now, like you and me, you fling me down. Anytime when me I come around, all my ladies they want to come dance around. Like, from Nigeria down to America, girls in Ghana, everybody they want dance around. The people they wanna bring it down. Somalia, Canada, girls them dance around. Joro me, fling it.
I was feeling so sad because I was all alone. Was touch my heart and say, that person I know to go.
Hey,
was so glad. The way she keeps me smiling, it brings me joy. She proves this love is real. Within my heart, there's nobody else. Baby, give me your hand. Let me take you away. No delay, yeah. After all the things I've been through, I present my love to you. The girl I want marry, yeah. The girl I want marry, yeah. See the girl I want carry, yeah. Now the girl I want marry. Oh, Rona, no, no, mume, no, mume. Oh, man, chongwa, what a beautiful one, yeah. Nenye makagi, so you want I can fly away, yeah. Sky, just you and I, girl, I know the lie. Can't you see? You were sent from above, and you know you're my heart and my sweetest. Is this love? Is this love? I don't know, but I know what I'm feeling. Now God be my witness, you're my princess. The way she keeps me smiling. Loving is real. Within my heart, there's nobody else. Baby, give me your hand. Let me take you away. Mommy, baby. See the girl I want marry. No time, no delay. After all the things I've been through, I present my love to you. The girl I want marry. The girl I want marry, yeah. See the girl I want carry, yeah. Now the girl I want marry, mama let me see you.
You are my special queen. I will love you till the end of time.
make a family, and we go live in harmony.
Baby, give me a number. Give me a number. So that I can holla. I wanna show you to my mama. Let's go to Ghana to save you.
That was music from the continent. We hope you enjoyed it. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, managing editor Shaka Sally, reporter Douglas Impuga, producer Odette Frazier, and our engineer for today, Casillas Martin, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, the misfortune that comes into town does not wear a turban. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington. Good evening, Africa.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
President Barack Obama has said that Africa is on the move, pointing to the strides made on the continent in the areas of health and economic growth. But as Undersecretary for Civilian Security, Democracy, and Human Rights Sarah Sewell recently noted, Africa's ability to make what could be enormous contributions to the global community is facing challenges that still impede Africa's success and slow its progress. The first is the threat of violent extremism. In both the east and the west of Africa, violent groups like Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb and Boko Haram are devastating people's lives, eroding economies, and undermining governance. This is an issue of great concern to the United States and to our partners in Africa, and a real focus of our partnership with African nations, said Undersecretary Sewell. A second area of challenge is the unequal treatment of women and girls. In far too many places, Undersecretary Sewell observed, that treatment includes violence, including female genital mutilation and cutting, which is a severe threat to health, sexual violence by intimate friends or family, or by security forces operating in the name of the states, or early forced child marriage, which prevents girls from getting an education and contributing to their country's economic future. The third key area is the problem of impunity within African nations. The United States, Undersecretary Sewell emphasized, wants to work with African nations to try to address those justice deficits, which are so important. Important not only for economic progress, but for social and political progress as well. In a discussion with international reporters, Undersecretary Sewell noted, among other issues, President Obama's support for UN peacekeeping operations in Africa, the work the United States has done to spotlight the importance of good conduct by national contingents of military and police forces involved in those missions, and to insist on the end to impunity for crimes those forces may commit. The investment the United States has made in tracking and disrupting terrorist financing, and the emphasis the United States believes is required to highlight the need for African women and girls to be allowed to fulfill their futures. President Obama has said that Africa's progress depends on good governance, respect for human rights, security, and peace. The United States remains Africa's close partner and friend in pursuing each of these goals.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.